stop persistence as our history is real. A strong will can shine like gold.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett. This is episode 57. Today is March the 12th, 2022, and it's snowing outside, and March is giving us a taste of what the winter's kind of been like for the last month or so. I'd like to give a shout out to Matt Mullins and the Bring Downs. They're an Appalachian rock group, and they gave us our introduction song and loaned it to us for a little while. And the name of the song is Best Version of Myself. And the drummer's Dylan McInturf, guitar, bass guitar is Bill Fraley, and of course Matt Mullins, and lead guitarist Stuart Hill. And boy, those guys can play. And if you ever get a chance to hear them locally around the southern West Virginia area, and of course they branch out too, but go see them. And Matt even plays a little soloist every once in a while, does a real good job. We want to say thank you to those guys. And this past week, we had the state wrestling tournament. It was the 75th annual state wrestling tournament, started in 1948. And we want to congratulate local state champions from Independence. Dylan Perdue won his second state championship. And Dylan had last year as a freshman started out. The regional was his very first match. He missed the entire season, and he won all the way through the regions, won all the way through the state tournament. And I'm pretty sure he's the first freshman to ever do that and win a state title, with the region being his first match. Colton Caron also won his first state championship this year from Independence. And from over at Woodrow Wilson, J.J. Bells, he won a state title in the AAA division. And I know he's the first freshman to ever win a state title at Woodrow Wilson High School. And he had 48 wins, and I think that's a record, school record for the number of wins at Woodrow Wilson also. His great uncle, Jim Bales, wrestled at Shady Spring High School in 1963. He was state champion, won the 95-pound weight class, and Shady Spring won the state title that year, and that's back when all the schools were consolidated into one classification. And I think that was the first state championship team that Shady Spring ever had in anything. And since then, they've done quite well in girls volleyball, softball, and golf, I think, and also last couple of years, basketball. So, but we would want to congratulate those state champions. Also, Greenbrier West was the state runner-up in single A. The team had a pretty young team, and Jeremy Tincher and Steve Tincher does a real good job out that way. We want to congratulate Zach Sayre and Dan Tinch, who have the podcast Matt Time, and they won the Snyder Miller Media Award at the state tournament. Those guys do a real good job. They interview a lot of the local celebrities and the wrestlers and do a fantastic job in promoting the sport of wrestling. And we're really tickled to death for those guys. And they had a couple of their own awards too. And one of the awards, the fan of the year, went to Wanda Good from Shady Spring High School area. Her son Josh has wrestled the last 4 years at Shady and finished third again this year. Wanda is very good about putting pictures on the internet and promoting the sport, and we hope she doesn't leave, since even though Josh will be graduating, hope she doesn't leave the high school scene, but maybe she'll provide us some college pictures if Josh decides to wrestle in college. We were also glad to see a couple Southern West Virginia referees at the state tournament, Guy Holliday and Marquise Frazier. Both did an excellent job there, and I think that's the first time that the southern part of the state has had two referees at the state tournament. We've had one before, but I think it's the first time we've had two, so good. And another big plus in the promotion of wrestling, several were on the internet, but they're a lot of the schools had great send-offs for the wrestlers when they were leaving the school and going to the state tournament. There was different bands were playing, and cheerleaders were leading the wrestlers out the door. Parents, there were parades, there were escorts, police car, and fire truck escorts, and it was just a great time. Made these guys feel important, I'm sure. And I'm sure it's going to get bigger because some schools are going to try to outdo others. There were signs out there, and so it's something to look forward to. Never had that to happen too much in the sport of wrestling. I can remember back in the old days, you never even, if you had a team going to the state tournament, you never even knew about it in the school. There was no announcements or anything like that. And those times have changed, and hopefully it's going to get bigger, not just for wrestling, for other sports too. My friend Brian Millick from over in Greenbrier County, Brian is a former coach, and he's a state duels tournament director. He's had his own column. He's been a big supporter of wrestling over the years in Ohio and West Virginia. And he and I talk quite a bit about the sport itself and some of the things that might need to be done and to improve the fanfare and try to get more people out there and get more kids involved in the sport of wrestling. And we talk on the internet, we talk on the phone, and we just came up with some ideas that we thought might help the sport, and I thought I'd throw a few out there. And even if you don't really follow wrestling that much, you might listen and get some ideas. And one of the things that we thought would be a great idea is, first of all, the wrestling teams need to get their schedules out there, get them out there early so people know what's going on. And I know sometimes, especially with a winter sport, you have cancellations. And of course, we've had a pandemic last couple of years, and, you have to make changes, those kind of things. But still yet, you have to have a plan, and those who fail to plan to fail. And so get your schedules. The football and basketball have to turn their schedules in to secondary schools ahead of time. Get your schedules out there. We ought to have a requirement that at least 1 week before the season starts, everybody's scheduled there. And especially for us wrestling fans, there's a couple times this past year, I didn't know where a team was wrestling. I tried even talking to the coaches. Sometimes it was difficult to figure out exactly what their schedule was. So do that. Do that for the fans. Do that for the wrestlers, because we'd like to see the gyms packed. Like Brian Millick gave an old Yogi Berra quote: "People not go to an event if they are not aware of," and that's very true. And after you get the schedule out, report the results. We don't know. It's better now than it used to be, but we don't know sometimes who wins tournaments. We don't know who wins dual matches. Don't know who wins triangulars, because the coaches or school personnel do not report the results. So you might see a story in the paper about an upcoming event, and then people, the normal fans, will look to see who won, and you never see it, never figure it out until maybe later if you get it at all. So our suggestion was that all results should be reported within 48 hours of the competition. And the home school should have the responsibility of reporting the results. That really doesn't put a lot of pressure on you, because most of the schools don't have more than two or three events anyway. So it's not like you have to do something every week. And you've got, nowadays with the technology, especially in high schools and even in middle schools, you've got these tech kids that can do anything. And they can put the results on a laptop as they happen. What we suggest is have some type of regional correspondent that they would send the results to. And that regional correspondent, and this, again, is not a full-time job, this is a volunteer, that regional correspondent would have access to getting it to additional media like West Virginia Map or to the newspaper. It would just work out for everybody. I know the newspapers would appreciate it, the writers, and it really does not put a lot of pressure on the coaches if we can get recruit those people early, those tech people. And they're out there. They're out there and work out some type of extra credit or pay or whatever. And it might just be an interested parent that instead of sitting up in the stands, they want to sit at the table. So keep that in mind. Get your schedules out there and report the results. And kids love to see their names in the paper. They love to see it on the media. Even if they lose, they like to see it. And, you know, also it's a recording of history. I know now, you know, I research a lot of matches in the past, and I'll go back to matches in the 50s and 60s, and thank God they put them in the paper. But if we don't record them now, the people in our future will not be able to know actual results and any type of criteria there. Another thing that Brian and I agreed on, we think that there are way too many forfeits in wrestling, especially in West Virginia. And they have 14 weight classes in high school, and you have 15 weight classes in middle school. And we'll address the high school. We think that the weight classes ought to be cut down to 12 weight classes. And that'll reduce a lot of forfeits. Most of the single-A schools cannot or do not field a full 14-man weight class. They might have that many wrestlers, but they might have two or three in the same weight class, so it's very difficult. So cut it down to 12 weight classes, and then keep the weight classes clean and simple so fans will understand, have a better idea of who's wrestling what. Instead of having 106 and 113 and 120 and 126 and 132 and 138, the casual fan or average fan cannot keep up with those weight classes. So what we're saying is start it out at 105 pounds and go 10-pound increments, 115, 125, 135, 145, all the way up to 195. Then you go 220 and 285 like you have now. 12 weight classes, 10-pound increments, and the fans then would have an easier time keeping up with that particular weight class instead of trying to remember 32, 148, or 145, 138, that kind of things. We must make wrestling fan-friendly if we're going to get the fans out there. The only ones basically come now are former wrestlers, family members, or really close friends. But there's a whole different entity we can tap into, and we just have to make it friendly for them. And, of course, I mentioned this in a newspaper article, but we think that there ought to be a little more emphasis on dual matches also. When you cut the number of weight classes down, teams are more likely to be able to field a full team, and wrestle on Wednesday nights. Now, the churches don't, most of the churches anymore don't have Wednesday night prayer meetings like they used to. All in the old days, they used to have them, and everybody had them. And so teams, basketball teams and wrestling matches were never held on Wednesday because of conflict with churches. But very few churches do that anymore. Some still do, but not that many. So make wrestling on Wednesday night have a duel and on a regular basis. Once fans realize that, hey, you know, my team is going to be wrestling Wednesday somewhere, maybe at away or maybe at home, but they kind of get the idea that it's Wednesday, starts with a W. So wrestling starts with a W, and you can call it Wrestling Wednesday during the season. Plant the seed in everyone's mind. There must be a wrestling match nearby. It's Wednesday. And students, faculty, board members, people that are not totally wrestling followers, they will get the idea. So boys and girls can have all the other days. They can play basketball on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Friday, whenever, but leave Wednesdays for and basically have dual matches, rivalries, set it up, build it up. And you might can schedule a middle school match or a youth match or something earlier. But you don't want to go too late because teams don't want to travel too far in the middle of the week. And then a lot of them will wrestle on Fridays or Saturdays also in tournaments. And we're not trying to deter away from that, you know, but most of the ones who are going to go to the tournaments are family, friends, or former wrestlers anyway. So, but set up Wednesday, Wrestling Wednesday, and do that now. And it doesn't, when you're making your schedule that you're going to turn in early, include some Wednesday matches at that time. Also, again, I mentioned to turn in your scores. You might have a regional correspondent, and there's guys out there that are willing to do that, and you don't have that many regions. And I'm sure that you, after you post your schedules and scores, and this person will probably be glad to help you out. Communication is a key, and brings us to another thing. When they have the regional tournament, all the seating meetings must be held on the same day for consistency. They must use the same criteria, and they must be held on the same day. There's no question about that. That needs to be changed now. Otherwise, if a team, one region seeds early, then teams in the other region can see where they've placed their wrestlers and may change their weight classes a little bit to adapt to that. But if they're all on the same day, scheduled at the same time, that would be almost impossible to do that. And it really would help tremendously for seeding purposes. Now, also next year, very good possibility that the state duels tournament is going to include 8 teams in the class AA, single A division, and 8 teams in the class AAA division. And this is not absolutely official yet, but that means that the top two teams in that region will go to the state tournament. And that'll give more kids a chance to participate. And so in your schedule, coaches, when this becomes totally official, you need to have a regional dual team quad. Basically, the top 4 teams in your region would wrestle off for the 2 spots that will go to the state tournament. And then that will also help for seeding purposes when they get to the duels state tournament. Now, a lot of coaches, you hear this argument all the time, but a lot of people think that wrestlers should be seeded once they get to the state tournament or qualify for the state tournament. And there's a lot of truth to that. But nobody's came up with a perfect way to seed them. The reason they want to do that is because they don't like to see the top 2 wrestlers or to meeting in the semifinals instead of the finals. Well, you're not going to stop that entirely. upsets happen and those kind of things. But most people don't have a problem with seeding wrestlers once they qualify. It's just what criteria do you use, and choosing that criteria is not going to be foolproof situated that way. So, but all of this transparency, this seeding, turning in your schedules, showing records, showing decisions, pins, those kind of things, all that transparency will help with seeding when it does happen. So the state wrestling committee will meet in the spring, and these are wrestling coaches that love the sport or are active, and they can make recommendations to the Principals Association, and the Principals Association will pass these particular changes if they can be made. So it's not the secondary schools that makes the rules. The secondary schools gets the rules from the Principals Association, and then they have to enforce them. They have, and sometimes it's a pretty tough task. But I think everybody's heart's in the right place. We just have. So let's make wrestling, let's do it. Let's do it now. Let's make wrestling a fan friendly and the great sport that it is. And, you know, keep on keeping on, and let's support these kids who are out there and try to make it much better. But those are just a few suggestions from Brian Millick and I. And if you want to respond, you can contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you. Or you can contact the podcast on Facebook. And we are open to suggestions. We do plan on doing a little more promoting of our ideas. And so maybe you'll put something in our head that we can add to the list. And we would love to hear from you. Until next time, remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. And this is Wayne Bennett saying God bless you.